White girls who speak pidgin, and the Floridian surf bros that give them herpes. Today on the Surfing Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Surfing Podcast. My name is Dan Bylak. I am your host. Let's get in. We got a bunch of stuff to cover this week. It's gonna be an action packed, information packed show. More like tidbits, you know, and anecdotes of anything. But yeah, there's a lot of useful information, I think, this episode. First off, I want to say thank you. Last week, at the beginning and end of the show, I was kind of ranty and complaining. So I appreciate all of you folks bearing with me on that and being nice. But a couple of you guys went on since the last show and went on iTunes and left us positive reviews on iTunes, which is dope. Because at the end of the last show, I jokingly but pretty vehemently went off on the two people that left us negative reviews most recently. One guy I agreed with, one guy I did not. But two of you went on there since then and left a positive review and wrote something nice about the show, and it pushed down the other negative reviews at the front of the page. So fucking, you're rad. And I want to give a shout out to Jason T shot me an email saying that he's listened to the show before, and I've messaged with him on Instagram before. He's talking about surf breaks and stuff like that. But he messaged like, hey, he's like, I didn't give his last name, so I'm gonna out him. It's like, he's probably a nice person, but he just sent a nice email saying, hey, I voted for Trump, but I loved how you were making fun of him, and I love that you were making fun of the people of the trucks. I feel the giant flags in the trucks. I feel the same way. So see, I'm not a piece of shit. I hate certain things, but I hate them in a very open-minded way, with a lot of thought, a lot of passion behind that. And I think people can tell now. Thanks, Jason. I appreciate the nice message you sent, and you listening to the show. And I messaged it back because, listen, you know, my mom and half the people that I surf with, the peer, voted for Trump. There's not much I can fucking do about it. Like, you know, I'm bummed, but not bummed in like I'm not bummed in a way like, oh man, the Lakers, or the Raiders lost. I'm not bummed in a sports way that Trump was even president. I'm bummed in a like bummed for humanity way, like, ah. We should be better than that, but we're not. I sent Jason a message to tell him pretty much that. But yeah, thank you. Anybody else that feels the same way, I do it again. I don't hate you. I just don't. I'm bummed about the situation. And also I'm bummed. I mentioned last week on the show that like it's pissed because on like Saturdays, you know, Fridays and Saturdays, there's like a bunch of like pro-Trump, anti-masker QAnon protesters at the top of the pier on Main Street, from Main Street to PCH, like south to 6th Street, north to Lake Street. They line up on both sides of PCH and honk horns. Now they're doing it on Sundays. So 3 out of 7 days a week, these assholes are up. And it's like you can hear them from the water honking and yelling and screaming, and it's just too much. So I'm not a hater, guys. I'm just a decent man trying to make his way through the world doing the best that he can, you know, recording a podcast. And an empty comedy theater has basically been condemned because the fucking our society can't get over a goddamn pandemic because we're lazy, selfish dicks. I'm sorry. No, back energy, back up. Let's do the show. We have a lot of stuff on the show today. Let's get right into it. I got an email from one of your an Instagram message, but don't we all just call it emails now? It's just like, dude, it's an email. And it was a guy asking about, I'm trying to find the thing. Sorry, I should have been. It was a guy named John. He was asking about surfing in contacts and or glasses. He said he had very bad, you know, bad eyesight, wanted to start surfing. And he's a younger guy, too. He's probably late, you know, teenager, early 20s, whatever. And he's like, oh, I want to start surfing, but I have really bad eyesight. And I messaged him back. And I have bad eyesight. I had bad eyesight since I was a kid. I've worn glasses since I was like, you know, a little kid. But as I get older in the last 10 years, my eyesight, it's awful. In the mornings, if I don't put my glasses on, I can't read the text on my phone. I can't see, you know, I can't read without glasses on, which drives me insane. It makes me just feel like so old. Like I should just dig a hole and climb in the grave and sleep in the earth for the rest of eternity. But whatever, I'm doing the best I can. But I messaged him and I just told him, hey, man, I wear contacts when I surf. I wear contacts every time I surf. I cannot not surf in contacts. The trade-off is you can't open your eyes underwater. Like when you duck dive, sometimes it's fun to open your eyes, look around. You can't really do that. If you pull into the barrel, or especially a closeout barrel, there's a certain point. Like if I pull into the barrel, I have to close my eyes if I know it's going to be a closeout. I'll try and line up. I'm trying to like do a doggy door, and I did two doggy door barrel. I got two doggy door barrels this afternoon, and I was going to put a clip on the page for the website, like in a little blog entry, and like link to them. Like, here's me getting a doggy door. I had to close my eyes because of my contacts, and fucking Surfline surf camera God damn it. The place where I was surfing, there's a goddamn palm tree in the way. And you can literally see like the wave come, go behind the palm tree where I got barreled. And then you can see me on one of them. You see me kick out like come like doggy door and come through right to the left of the palm tree. Like I was so fucking mad. I'm like, God, fuck. I was so excited. And then, you know, that's the other thing. And then the other thing, there was a couple things I wanted to talk about in the show, like on not trick tips, but like surfing tips for the mediocre and worst surfer like myself. And I had a perfect example twice this week where three of the last four times I surfed, the best wave that I got where I did a really good turn that I was happy about or something I wanted to see technique wise that I felt was much improved from what I was doing, you know, a few weeks ago because I've been working on I'm getting better, you know, always working on, oh, I should try and do these better. Fucking Surfline camera glitches at the beginning. Like, okay, you know, I have a session in like the Surfline, you know, I use the Apple Watch for the Surfline app and it captures all your waves in like a Surfline sessions thing. So you click on the session for that session, you know, that particular session, and it gives you a list of your waves. You know, and I catch like 30 waves a session usually. I only surf like an hour and a half at the most because I'm fucking old and grouchy and have shit to do. But the last four times I surfed, including this fucking morning, the tree this today doesn't count. In the afternoon, I surfed twice today. But this morning, yesterday, and the day before, I had the, like, I click on the clip, it plays for 1 second and then freezes, then glitches out and is all pixelated. And then it kicks back in at the end of the clip after I'm already either kicked out of the wave or straightened out or am already paddling back out. I don't know if it's bad luck, bad mojo, gremlins, the fact that God hates me, whatever it is, I'm trying to like, why even have the goddamn thing of the best wave? What? Oh, it hurts. It just hurts so much. I just want to see myself do my sad little turn. It's a sad little turner, sad little floater, sad little, it's just a sad little things I'm doing in the ocean, just trying to fill up my empty little fucking soul. Just, I'm so, I have nothing. Nothing in this world. I'm sad all the time. I just want to, surfing is the only thing that makes me feel anything goddamn. Yeah, I mean, my wife and my lovely child who I love with all my fucking heart, blah blah blah, but surfing literally is the only thing I do outside of my stupid family that makes me feel anything at all anymore. It makes me not even feel like it's worth being alive on this goddamn planet compared, especially after like the last 9 months. And the Surfline fucking surf sessions iWatch clip grabber keeps butt fucking me all week. Kiss me before you fuck me, Surfline. That's all I'm saying. And I don't know. And I don't know who I'm mad at. I don't know if it's the Surfline app or the Apple Watch or like some, you know, my cell phone provider or GPS or fucking, like I said, I don't know what the fuck it is, but I'm pissed and it misses my waves. But anyway, I doggy door two waves a day and I have to close my eyes when I do that, which is, you close your eyes anyway, I guess. And then the third one, I got cocky. And it was like a set wave of the set, like a little, like a head high, little overhead wave. But the tide was still kind of high this afternoon. It was very glassy today. Kind of high though. And this is this is when you get cocky. The waves I caught before were like shoulder head high waves that like barreled because they were on the inside. They're breaking the inside sandbar. This one was like an outside set that broke like 30, 40 feet further out. And I scrambled out to get it. I got it, took off at an angle, but it was deeper water. So it didn't barrel off the get-go. And it lined up. It had more time to wall up. And then instead of barreling out, it kind of like Huntington Beach is like an almond shaped barrel anyway. We don't have to get a round or a square barrel. You know, we just don't, unless it's like the shore break and like, you know, 1 6-inch wave and 3 inches of water. But the wave had time to like line up and jack and then like clamp down. So I tried to like, I high line it and pull into a close up, but then at an angle because I was going to try and do the, you know, the hat trick, three doggy doors in a row on three waves in a row. And it just fucking, I got right in the explodey, like the clamp part. And I got worked so, like, as bad as you can get on, like, a barely head high wave because it exploded me. And I pushed my board away from me because I was like, oh, fuck, underwater. I got smushed down, but at an angle, like, diagonally towards the shore. And then it body surfed me. That is the worst. That always happened to me on backside barrels. That's why, like, I'm always kind of reticent about pulling in on bigger backside barrels, especially closeouts, because we'll talk about barrel in some surf tip. I'll research it more and think harder about it, about like things that I've used being a terrible surfer that have helped me get better. But today I got rolled the body surf wipeout where you like get slammed by the closeout section, but it like kind of boosts you up and then just rolls you like 80 times. Like I was underwater for like 8 seconds, like of just getting worked on like seriously like a 5 foot face wave. So I was like, I came up, I'm like, oh man, I'm kind of out of breath and I'm embarrassed because I just got worked and, you know, just got a beating from like a relatively not that big of a wave. Trying to be fancy. And then of course I come to see with the spot where I was surfing, that little corner of sandbar. I was lining up with a thing on the beach, like I've talked about before. I have my lineups at my terrible beach break. Of course I do. And I all three waves are behind a tree. So hooray for me. Everything I just told you didn't happen technically because there's no video evidence. But yeah, serving in context. You got I mentioned the third wave. The third wave I got really worked where I got like jacked the lip, slammed me in like the face, like the eyes, the mouth, and went up my nose. But it also, this is how worked I got. This is embarrassing, by the way. All this shit, you're like, oh, Dan's telling embarrassing surf stories. This guy's an idiot. He just likes to talk. He's not. No, all this stuff like embarrasses me to my soul every time I share shit like this on the show. And when I think about previous episodes, or like when I met that guy a couple weeks ago, I was like, it was a fan of the show. I was like, oh God, this guy's heard all the dumb things. But anyway, as I was getting work, water shot. My eyes were closed. Water shot into my closed eyes and like vibrated my eyelids when I was like you know what I mean, like shook them like that, my eyelids. So when I came up, I'm like, fuck, I know I lost my contacts for sure. I was like, oh, it's so annoying. And luckily I didn't. I popped up after getting held under for like, you know, not 8 seconds. It felt like I worked. I probably got worked for 4 seconds, but on a small wave, like it was pretty decent working for a small wave. Made me embarrassed. But the heaviest part about it was getting my eyeballs whacked around, and then luckily nothing happened. My contact stayed in, so you can get lucky. But what I do, John, is about the for John, back to John's question about surfing with bad eyesight. I told him wear contacts. He said he tried contacts in high school, but his eyes are sensitive to light and he doesn't want to, probably can't wear contacts. So he's leaning towards getting surfing like goggles or sunglasses. And there's prescription ones. I looked some up online back in the day, like in the ads back in Surfer Magazine in the 90s and 2000s, there was an ad for specs, SPEX, I believe. And I looked them up online and I couldn't find them. But if they're around, man, I mean, that's staying power. They've been around 30, 40 years. But specs were like these goggles you could get that I think you could get prescription lenses put in. And I was looking online. There's a company called Surf Specs, which maybe Specs turned into, or C Specs, maybe it's a shoot-off competitor. But it's like got like some 50-year-old guy bottom turning it like, and he's probably some guy that rips. I'm probably not. It's probably some brand ambassador. But on their website at cspecs.com, it's got like some like real old dude. I mean, not much older than me, to be honest. Bottom turning like a double overhead wave to show that you can surf giant waves in C-Specs. But it looks like the sad part is they're just sunglasses, so that's super fucking lame. I'm sorry. If you have pterygium or whatever and blah, 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 or you know, you're sensitive to bright light, you know what? You can't wear specs or C-Specs. You will look like a fucking dildo. John, I would say there's another company I found. They have called prescription swim goggles, but they're mostly like Speedo swim goggles. Those are kind of weird. And then there was one other one online, like your surfing glass, you know, the specs. I don't know. You gotta look around online. I saw a guy a few years ago. There was a guy that was like kind of a beginner, and he was surfing the pier. There's those super annoying beginners because he like paddle up. He'd get in your way like 5 times, bail his board in front of you, and then you'd like not yell at him, like, dude, please don't do that. And then he would think that you were his friend, and then he would paddle out and follow you around and ask you the dumbest fucking questions. And he wasn't like a 15-year-old kid, like a 25, 26-year-old dude. You're like, just fuck, you're too old to be this fucking dumb, leave me the fuck alone. But you don't say that. You're like, oh yeah, I don't know where the seagulls go at night. Maybe they sleep on the pier. Who fucking cares, you know? And then, are you going on this one? Well, you're like paddling, like clearly standing up. Yeah, I think I got this one. Fuck face. Get out of the way. But anyway, he would wear those C-spec goggles and he was super annoying. So I don't know. This John, just do the best you can. Look online, read the reviews on Amazon. But I personally just fucking, I wear contacts and I lose them from time to time. And I emailed John and told him this. What I do is I get a pair of old contacts, like expired ones. Like if I have an odd contact, like a lose or tear contact, and I have one in the box, and at the end of my, you know, when I have to order more, I have one left over. I get one contact, or actually I have two, and I wrap them. I wrap them in plastic wrap, or I put them in a small Ziploc bag and fold it, and then I tape it up inside my bicycle seat. So that way, if I lose a contact lens when I'm surfing, I can go in and go get contacts and then come back out. Like I've lost contacts like my first wave before, where I like an idiot because I'm the dumbest person alive. And then I've been like, I can surf without contact. But thing is, if I lose one contact, I can't surf with just one contact because then I can see really well in one eye and the other one's blurry and it gives me a fucking headache. So then I have to take them both out and then I'm just kind of flying. Like I can see, but I can't see. Like it's kind of shitty. So I keep contacts on my bike seat, and that way if I lose them, it's an old contact. I put it in, I can wear it for an hour or two. It's probably not the best thing for my eyes, but whatever. If you're rich, put two new contacts under there and swap them out every, you know, 12 or 18 months when you get new ones if you're fancy, but I just use the poor person solution. And then the same thing was with my car. I had an old or sample pair that I knew, like, they were the same. I got a sample pair from the eye doctor like a year ago, and they were the same prescription I used, and I had brand new contacts in my eyes from going in that day. So I just left them. So I have a sample pair somewhere in my car and then taped under my bike seat. That's a secret. But yeah, I don't know. If you're sensitive to light or whatever, get the specs. But my rule is, if your eyes that are bad need prescription, wear whatever you need to wear, whether it's goggles or specs or whatever. But if you're getting those sunglasses, fuck you. If you're just getting surf sunglasses, I don't care how old and fat and feeble and bad at surfing I am. I will burn you in every way. No, not really. I don't. But I have no respect for you. I have very little respect for myself, and I'm embarrassed that I even paddle out. But I'll be like, God damn, I'm an idiot, but at least I'm not that guy or girl. That's what I'll be thinking every time I see you in your specs. All right, let's get through it, guys. So that wasn't a surf tip. That was answering a question from a listener. Other thing. Oh, someone else asked me, and we'll do a deeper dive, but let me give him a shout out. What was this guy's name? Sorry. And ladies, folks, I should be more prepared. I get it. Somebody, I'll find his question. I think, William. It was William. Thank you, William, for the nice thing. The nice Instagram message. William asked about surf ear and earplugs. So this is like I say, I have surf ear. Surf ear is like that when you get the bones inside of your ears, there's two bones inside your ear canal that grow together, like they're like, picture your fingers like an inch apart and then moving closer and closer together and closing up your ear canal. That's called surfer's ear. I mean, there's a fancy name for it, but I'm not going to fucking Google it right now. You can Google it. But it happens from surfing, and it's from cold water and or like wind and cold water, I believe, blowing in your ear. I have it really bad. I have it like just bad in both ears, but I have it really bad in my right ear. So much so, a year, I've had to mention this before on the show, a year or year and a half ago, it was so bad that my ear was, I was constantly, like, I cannot surf or swim without an ear plug in on my right ear. I can't. Water fills it up, and it fills it, not, it used to be for like a day or 2 days at the worst. For like the last year, 2 years, if I surf or swim without an ear plug, my right ear fills up with water for like a week. Like, I can't hear out of my ear, and it fills up with water for a fucking, like, at least 5 business days. I'll tell you that much. Like a week, though, where like I can put the earwax removal or the swim ear or eardrops or rubbing alcohol or hydrogen peroxide or whatever in there, it won't fucking come out. And I went to the eye doctor or the ear, sorry, eye doctors, you're talking about contacts earlier. I went to a big fancy fucking like highfalutin, ear doctor in Newport Beach at like their offices was like in Fashion Islands, but this really upscale outdoor mall or whatever. They're in this like business, you know, fancy glass fucking medical suite right next door to the big sprawling area there. And they're like, this guy's supposed to be the best of the best, like top gun of fucking ear people. I made an appointment, waited an hour in his office, got in, and then I didn't even ever even met the doctor. I just met an ear fucking cleaning technician lady in her 50s who was a total cunt, by the way. She gets hit by a fucking bus made of AIDS. I'm sorry, that's too much. It's not funny. But it's how I feel. But she was just a dick. And I'm like, yeah, I have bad swimmer shit. And she looks like, oh yeah, you're right here. Like, it's so closed up, you can't even see the thing. Like, you can't even see the in the canal at all. And they have this, like, this thing's like a long needle that's like a vacuum that they go in to clean your ear out, because I had like dead skin and stuff caught in it. And she said, my bones are so close together that she showed me that the thinnest, they have different like different gauges of how thick the thing is. Mine is so bad that the thinnest gauge they have, that is honestly like a thinner than a bicycle pump thing, like a needle, couldn't fit even in between the place where like normally it would be able to fit, no problem. So she's like, I'm like, well, what do I do? She's like, oh, you're screwed. I mean, you can talk to him about getting the surgery, but like it hurts and it'll just come back. There's nothing. I mean, you're just, sorry, sucks to be you. Lady at a fucking doctor's office said to my face, sucks to be you. I swear to God, I wanted to pick up that fucking, you know, the little rolling stool they have, the doctor's stool that's like, you always go to sit on it, but it's way too rolly. But the doctor is always like doing like a one knee fucking, you know, drop knee sesh when he's like taking your temperature or looking in your ears. And you're like, it's a weird doctor, but it's metal. It's like unwieldy because it's like too spinny. The bottom, the top part is like, you know, it's got that spinny top, and then the legs have a spinny. So it's like double, it's just unstable, but it's unwieldy. It'd be hard to pick up because you'd like hold it by the wrong part and the wheels would spin around and hit you in the face or vice versa. But I wanted to fucking hit that layer of the head, the goddamn thing, when she said sucks to be you. And then I did my own research, being the cracked internet researcher that I am. And it turns out there's two types of surgeries they do that are popular. One, they fucking cut your ear in half like a fucking circle, like that, like from the top of the back ear to the bottom back ear, and then peel it forward and like basically tape your ear to your face and then drill out your ear. Or they go in and they can scrape it in the other way. And there's a guy that uses like they use a laser to go in, but it's basically the same thing. Most common and most often it's the one where they fucking peel your ear off, and then you're literally out of the water for like at least 3 months, closer to six, because you've cut your fucking ear open and exposed your goddamn fucking ear canal and all your goop in there and shit to like the air, and it's an open 3-inch. However deep gash into your skull. Like, you can't go in the water, because if you get anything in it, your fucking brain, you know, like a brain amoeba will eat your brain to death or whatever. I'm not a scientist, guys, but you know what I mean? So that sucks. See, and then you have this giant scar in the back of your ear where it looks like if someone fucking cut your ear off with a cleaver, because they fucking did, and you paid them to do so, which is weird. And then there's one, like I said, with a laser, but the laser one, I think they still cut your ear open most of the way. And then there's a technique. Well, there's a doctor in Santa Cruz. It was featured on like Surfline or Surfer's Journal or some shit, some video thing. I'll find a link to it. But he goes in with like a chisel and like a rock hammer and a chisel, and chisels the shit off. And I don't think you're under anesthesia either. I think you're like wide awake, just fucking ding ding ding. You know, fucking guy playing Spelunker in your fucking head. But apparently that's like a lot faster healing and da da da, and less invasive and all this shit. And your ear doesn't get cut off. So I was leaning towards that. Until last year, I went to my dentist for like a cleaning. I have a dentist who, I don't want to say he's not good, but he's a white guy who plays like way too much Bob Marley in his playlist at his fucking office. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying he's like a white nerd, but he also surfs, and I've never seen him in water, thank God. And he's very nice, but like, not that he's a nerd. I just mean like he's not like, he plays Bob Marley, but I don't want you to picture like some white guy with dreadlocks. Like, hey, man, he's just a regular guy. He's like a scientific dude. But he's just, one time I asked him, like, I got like some ear or some procedure done, and then he gave me this mouthwash, like this prescription mouthwash to take home. And I'm like, oh, what is this? Oh, it's magic juice to make it better or something like that. And I'm like, can you fucking not say it's magic juice to make me feel better, to make it feel better? And just tell me what the fuck it is. Like, I hate doctors. Anytime I'm paying someone or for free getting medical care administered, I don't want to hear shit like, oh, sucks to be you. And I don't want to hear shit like, oh, it's just magic juice. I know I don't need a deep dive. I don't have a goddamn, you know, an organic chemistry degree, but fuck, I'm not a moron. Just give me the gist of what it is, and don't mock me because I'm going deaf in my goddamn ear. But anyway, that my dentist, his brother, who is also apparently a surfer, went to that guy in Santa Cruz and got it done. He is from, I think, Southern California or somewhere, not in Santa Cruz, but I think he drove there. He was planning to drive there, get the procedure, spend a night or two at the, like, in Santa Cruz, the hotel there, I think at the Dream Inn. He was, you know, whatever, because he stayed there before from surfing. It's just a cool hotel, by the way. And he thought he was going to, like, sleep a day and then drive back the second or third day or whatever. And it turns out that wasn't the case. Apparently, the fucking rock hammer thing hurt so fucking bad, there was no way he could drive home. I don't know if a loved one had to drive up or fly up or whatever to fucking take him home, but he could not take himself home after several days. And he had fucking headaches and swelling and pain just as bad as the other thing for fucking months, like at least 3 months. And that's not the rock hammer doctor's fault. It's just that's how gnarly the surgery is. You're getting a chunk or two of bone, two chunks of bone removed from inside of your fucking skull, either by hammer, saw, drill, or laser. Like, there's no nice way to remove a fucking, you know, a BB-sized piece of fucking bone or bigger from your goddamn head. And if you really want to have nightmares, go online and Google the surgeries for it. And there's YouTube ones that aren't even, like, restricted, that are full graphic, like the whole 20, 30-minute procedure of the ear and how much shit they take out of your ear and what it looks like. And it's a nightmare. It's fucking horrifying. So I don't recommend it. So what I do, I just wear earplugs, and I'm just going to fucking ride, you know, ride or die till my fucking the wheels fall off my ears. But I have to wear earplug even when I swim with my kid in the pool in the summer and shit like that. Earplug. I have an earplug for my rider, at least. I keep an earplug in every pair of my swim trunks, like, or surf trunks, or whatever. just in case I go to the pool and forget, because my kid always wants me to dive with him. I'm going to dive to the bottom, jump off the diving board, do a bullshit, you know, constantly go to water, go to water. So if I don't have an earplug, I'm fucked. I can't hear out of my ear for like a fucking week, but it's awful. And then William asked about earplugs. I've tried every kind of earplug. It just, honestly, earplugs, it just depends on the shape of your ear canal and how big your ears are and what feel good to you. There's fancier ones, there's shittier ones. I use the Max ones, M-A-C-K-S, apostrophe S. They sell them at like Target. They sell them at surf shops. They're usually coming like a 5-pack. They're either purple or clear. They're okay. I mean, they're like $10 for like 5 of them or 6 of them. And you're like these things cost 10 cents to make. So the markup on these are like 5,000% or whatever. But I use those because they're not too expensive. I lose one, it's no big deal. I have a pack, you know, in my car. I have a pack in my garage. I have a pack in my surf kit. I have a pack. I have extra ones floating all over the place. I have in my travel, my luggage, my vanity, you know, the bag of like toiletries and shit for when I travel. But just because I have to, because I can't go underwater without them. But yeah, I use those. There used to be like, what is it, Docs Pro Plugs that had like the weird thing. On the show, like a couple years ago, I did a review. I talked to the guys that made the noise cancel, or the ones that you could hear through. Those were cool. Surf ears, I think they were called. I don't know what the fuck they were called, but they're on the show. But they were nice guys. I don't know if they still make them, but I had those and I lost them within like 2 weeks of having them because I got them in the summer and it was a big south swell and I didn't use the little string to keep them, and I just got caught inside in like a big set and bashed the fuck out of them, and one disappeared and then one disappeared. So they were really nice, but they're expensive, like $30, $40. They're like they sent me a pair to review and then interview them, which is nice, but that's kind of expensive. I just go the Max ones. The problem is my ear, this is weird, but my ear canals, one's different size than the other. My right ear canal is a little bit bigger around than my left one. Probably microns, but yeah, the right one and left one never fit. The right one never fits as good as the left one. And I've tried other brands of ones. I went online to one of those Chinese overseas websites and I bought a ton of different, like, you know, silicone earplugs for like, you know, $3 with the free shipping. I bought like 7 different kinds. And I found a kind that was a little bit bigger, so it fit my right ear a lot better. Like it was more like, it was completely like cinched in there and whatever. But then the right one, it was too big and kind of hurt. So I err in favor of just wearing the one on the right, even though it's my more sensitive ear. I wear the one on the right that's not as snug, but it's snug enough. And then that's it. So that's what you can do. Just try all different kind of earplugs. That silicone putty shit they sell, that I think Max also makes, that's like that clear, you know, that grayish clear putty. I've tried that stuff. I think that stuff's dog shit, but yeah, that's just me. Maybe it works for you. I think you have to fill the whole inner circle of your ear, not just trying like, a big like quarter size piece and jam it in there. I just didn't like it. Didn't work for me. But yeah, if earplugs are no joke, if you're a young man or woman or baby seal or whatever the fuck you are, if you're surfing and not wearing earplugs, even if you're young, wear them now, because it's like no joke later on. It's not one of those things like, oh well, I'll just get it fixed. It's like you can't get it fixed. It fucking sucks. Like to get it fixed is like to have both your ears cut off basically and then re-sewed back on your head. Oh, also in the middle of that, they drill a fucking piece, you know, into your fucking skull on both sides, into the bone, and remove bone. And if you know anything about like bone, you know, injuries, bone things are like the most painful, slow to heal, like constant dull yet also sharp pain forever and ever and ever. So wear earplugs, dummies, or don't. It's, live your life. Got to move on, guys. We have a lot of things to talk about. No, just a few. I got to get home for dinner, too. So if I end this episode abruptly, it's because my wife texts me and is like, where the fuck are you? It's dinner time. I always try and record these in the afternoon, and I always like early in the afternoon, and I always get busy doing other shit. And I race up here to the theater to try and record one at like, you know, 5 o'clock or 5:30 until my wife will be home at 6:30 for dinner. And then I'm always like 30 minutes late. She's like, what the fuck? Yeah, a little tidbit. Let's talk about it, guys. UV flashlight. That's the next thing. Fucking UV flashlight for ding repair is a game changer. And I know a lot of times you're like, oh, Dan, you're saying game changers all the time. Well, one, because I'm constantly dropping useful goddamn knowledge on this show that is more than likely a fucking game changer. And I don't use the word the term loosely. So this is a fucking game changer. Three reasons. No, it's like the orbital sander. Like, a shitty orbital sander will help you fix things so much quicker. I use UV curing resin because it's just easier than using catalyst. You know, if I mix anything, it lasts like a year. You know, once a year I buy a new jug of like, you know, the 8 or 12 ounce jug, a metal tin can of the shit, and it works. You can fix limitless things for a year with that crap, and it's like $9 or less if you get it from like, depending where you get it. I get it from Foam EZ up over in Westminster. But the thing with UV curing resin is you need to cure it during the day. You need to be outside in the sun. And with me, my garage, what I usually like to do, and I'll do a little blog post or thing on the surfingpodcast.com about this anyway. One about simple ding repair, but also how I do it with the UV resin. What I do is I sand the ding, tape it off, cut out the fiberglass piece I'm going to use. Then I wet the ding, and then I wet the resin. I wet the fiberglass just enough. So that it's like you can still see the texture of it, so it doesn't float up off the ding. Make sure there's no air bubbles. Then I open my garage. I run outside. I hold the surfboard up for, 30 to 60 seconds at most for it to gel. Then I run back in. I close the garage with the lights off, or just barely. Like the light to my the door to my house, my office is right there. I have the door open, like bleeding in light. Then I put the hot coat on to fill the, I put the, because it's gelled and stuck to the resin. The resin's gelled and stuck to the ding, and the fiberglass is stuck to the board and the sanded part of the board, so it's not going to float up. Because if you put too much resin on a piece of fiberglass on a surfboard, it floats up at the top, then you sand it off, and there's no strength there. So the first one is like you put the fiberglass on, run out, let it gel, then you run back in, then I put the hot coat on, which means that I put a lot of resin on to make it nice and thick. Then I run out, do that for like 60 to 90 seconds to let it gel again. Then I bring it in. And then I cut out the square or the shape of the tape of the fiberglass. I cut around the tape. Then I peel that off. Then I take it out and put it on sawhorses in my alley, or my the back of our garage faces like our alley. And I put it out there for 5 or 10 minutes, and I turn it one way for 5 minutes, and then the other way for 5 minutes, and then the top, and then it's done. And then in like 10-15 minutes, I can sand it. But if it's fucking, like, there have been so many times, again, like reporting this podcast, where I'll be racing home, like, oh, I want to fix a ding on this board. I've been letting it dry out for a couple of days. It's like, like a good shortboard, one of my favorite, shortboards. And I'm like, it's got a rail ding. And I'm like, oh, I got to fix this because tomorrow the waves are going to be good in the morning, but I want to surf early, like not before 9, because I don't surf well before 9 o'clock in the morning. But I want to fix a ding, but if I fix it in the morning, it's going to make 30 minutes of dicking around, and I'm going to, it's just going to eat up my time. But I'll race home, and it'll be right before dark. And then I'm trying to fix this board, and the sun is setting over the houses across the alley from us. So my neighbors have seen this many a time, where I'm fixing a fucking ding, and for the hot coat or the final coat, I'm on my tippy toes or a chair holding my surfboard up above the shadow on my garage to be in the sunlight to get it to cure so it'd be done so I can sand it right then and there and be ready for surf in the morning. My neighbors, Mike and Sharon, a couple doors down, they've both driven by me a couple times and seen that, and it's like, that guy is a fucking idiot. And you know what? I'm a fucking idiot. They're right. But I got that ding fixed and sanded and surfed the next morning. So who's the real fucking? I'm still the idiot. But anyway, since COVID happened, me and my son, who's 7 and he's super rad, have been doing a bunch of stuff and going camping and going to the beach and shit like that and shit around the house and just stuff we do. Playing Dungeons and Dragons. We got into Dungeons and Dragons minifigures and painting those, and that's really fun. But the minifigures are kind of expensive, and it's like if you want to make an army of guys, it's like it's kind of cost prohibitive, especially for like a 7-year-old, because like he wrecks half the ones he paints. So what we did is we got a 3D printer. We started off, and I won't even do a deep dive in that. We'll talk about 3D printing stuff later on another episode. But I got a 3D printer. We got an FDM, like a filament printer that prints like layers of filament. And that was super fun, but you can't get as good a detail in like smaller things as you can with a resin printer, with an SLA resin printer. So we upgraded at the end of the summer, like about a month ago. We got a resin printer, and now we're printing these killer, like, perfect replica anything you want of like a D&D character, monster, Jedi, Mandalorian, Baby Yoda, like all this cool shit we're printing out, like 2 to 4 inches high. And then we paint a model paints and stuff like that. But in the meantime, the resin printers, and this has to do with surfing, it's the same as UV cure resin is like for surfing, is that the resin printer is just a vat of resin with this like plate that goes in, and it prints one layer at a time, and all it does is shine an LCD light on the bottom of the vat, and as it lifts it up, and it cures the resin, it does like a 3-second blast of light in a certain shape of what you're printing, then it raises up like a micron, and then a 3-second blast of light, and then it raises up micron, or half a micron, or whatever, and that's it builds it by thousands of layers. That's how it does it, like flashes the light for 3 seconds 1,000 times in a row as the plate rises. And sometimes you cure them in a little curing station with like UV light, like this really purple light, whatever. And there's make your own kind, or you can buy one for like $50 on Amazon. But the point is, sometimes it's not all the way cured. And what people will do is they'll carry, or something will break off. And what you can do is you can glue stuff back together using the UV resin, but you can't really, you got to hold it together. And it's kind of hard to hold together in the little UV curing station because the lid has to be on top and it's a little table, a little tray that spins. So people do, they go on Amazon and they get a UV flashlight. It's a flashlight that shoots out UV light. It's an LED flashlight, and it's like $10, and it's this bright purple light you shouldn't look at because it'll probably blind you if you look at it too long. But it's UV light. It'll probably give you a sunburn for all I know. And it cures the resin. Like if you have a shiny spot or a gooey spot on a figure, like on an armpit or something that wasn't getting light, shine it on there for 30 seconds, boom, it's cured. And I was like, well, that resin sounds a lot. It's like, it's not polyester resin, like the same exact same as surfboard resin. It's a little bit different. It's gray resin, usually like more of a color, but and it doesn't cure as fast and light. Like you could have it out in the open light, like in your garage for like 5 or 10 minutes and it doesn't cure. Unlike, you know, UV in like surfboard resin, like if you get like even reflective light in your garage from the sun, it gets gelled, it gets gooey pretty quick. My point is, I got one of those flashlights because I was going to use it for fixing things, swords and stuff that break off of our guys on our UV printer, on our 3D printer for the resin printing. And I'm like, holy shit, this will work on UV cure surfboard resin. And holy shit, it does. I got one last week, and then I dumped a little bit of a UV resin in the bottom of like a cut in half cup that I use, like a Home Depot cup that I use to mix the resin together when I'm fixing my surfboard. And I turn all the lights off the garage, put the UV light on it. That shit cured in like 20 seconds. At like 40 seconds, it was hard. And then it got after like three or five, but I put it on for 3 minutes. It was pretty much hard as it can get, but it was a little bit gummy on top like it'll get. After like four and a half, five minutes, that shit was rock hard and ready to sand. So if you're fixing dings at night or when it's cloudy or when it's raining or somewhere where it doesn't get that sunny or whatever, in Alaska, God for fuck's sake, you know, in the winter, they're $10. Like if Amazon Prime was like $10.95 free shipping, it is a goddamn game changer. My buddy Tim, who shapes surfboards, he's always tinkering with stuff, and he's really good at like fixing and building and doing stuff. I don't think he has one of those. I don't think they have a UV cure station at his shop. So I bought him one on Amazon and sent it to him for Christmas this year. Like, dude, this thing's dope. Merry Christmas. Also, he has like a cabin up in the woods somewhere, and I'm like, you can also, the UV light is on the Amazon thing. It's like, it's for 3D printing, something else. And then the third most common use is finding and locating scorpions. Because apparently if you shine a UV light on a scorpion, it glows. So you're fixing dings and you're in Oaxaca and you're Puerto Escondido. You're checking your room for scorpions at night, UV cure light. But yeah, thing is like $10-$11. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. I'll probably write a blog post about it too. It is a game changer because you can fix your board at night. And it cured it. The resin, when I cured it in the dish, it cured it so well that at 2 minutes in, I put my finger on the resin. It was hot. Like you'd kind of have to like do it like minute bursts at a time because 2 minutes of straight light on it got it hot. Where like dings don't really care because it can be brittle because your ding, the integrity of your ding is being held together by the fact you use a lot of fiberglass. But, yeah, you probably wouldn't want to cure like a surfboard like that all at once. Probably like, I don't know, do it from farther away or whatever. But it's a real deal. UV flashlight. It's a real thing. Don't look into it. I'm sure it will blind you. All right, let's get into the last part of the show. We talked about, last episode, I talked about surf tip, talked about don't pump so much. And then like last episode, I talked about going up to Ventura and Santa Barbara and surfing a lot on a fish and whatnot, and how the fish is like the fastest surfboard in the world. It's so great because you don't have to pump. I was riding the fish a lot for like the last few weeks. And when I ride the fish, it goes so fast. I'm like, oh, don't pump because I have a bad habit of pumping too much. And then I've been trying to, when I jump back on my shortboard or my small shortboards or regular boards, as you'd probably call it, of like transposing that, like not pumping on the fish to my shortboards and making sure to just check in with the lip. Like that's the most important thing, is just to hit the lip, like not even hit it vertically, but just instead of going up and down and trying to jerk, like I talked about last episode, trying to pump, just go up and just tap the lip or hit the lip. And like a lot of times you'll do more of an off the lip than you were expecting to do. And it looks better if you look at it on video or whatever, and you'll get more speed and you'll stay in the pocket. So I posted a clip on Instagram. I was joking about last week on Wednesday, there was supposed to be like a 4 to 6 foot, 6 to 8 foot swell. Like it's the day Mavericks was big. The problem was Huntington at the pier, everywhere else around the pier, like north, Golden West to Bolsa and above and like down south, got waves, like got overhead. Huntington, I woke up early on Wednesday morning, all stoked, supposed to be offshore, supposed to be like 4 to 6 foot with 8 foot sets and offshore. It was 1 to 3 feet. super high tide, and it was like barely offshore. It was like variable. It was offshore, but like 2 miles an hour. It made no thing. It didn't make any difference on the texture of the waves. And it was like that for Wednesday and Thursday. The swell. They're like, well, Thursday the angle will switch less. You know, better angle, and the period will drop. Nope. It was just an inconsistent like 2 to 3 with 4 foot sets. An inconsistent like those 4 foot sets were every 45 minutes if you're lucky. It was miserable, but. I did get a wave the other day, and I said I posted on our Instagram at the Surfing Podcast of like, in the it's a me just surfing a left, and it says, you know, mediocre surfing on a mediocre left, because it was like supposed to be much bigger the day that I put from the day that I'm surfing this wave, but on the wave you can see me going left in terrible style and terrible everything. But what I'm doing is the whole wave, it's like I do like 5 maneuvers, like a little tic tac floater, a little turn, a little cutback, a little tic tac floater, then a floater. I know, that's a lot of floaters. I'm old. I'm sorry, I'm not doing like airs or whatever. But the point is, I'm not pumping on that wave. At every point on that wave where I could pump, I just made sure to go back and hit the lip or get up in the lip and then come down, because I'm trying to not pump as much. So that's me practicing what I preach. And I'm sure you can do a much better job than I can with that. So let's get into today's tip is whitewash floaters / whitewash foam climbs, which I think I used to be able to do them so well when I was like, you know, a grom and like 110 pounds and like, you know, 5'1" or whatever the fuck I was. I could do whitewash floaters on like closeouts and this and that, and just do whitewash floater to whitewash floater to whitewash floater all the way in, like, you know. And now that I'm older and I'm 6'3" and 209 pounds or whatever I am this week, I'm just on this COVID-15 that I've been carrying around for 3 years. I guessed COVID was coming because I got kind of fat before COVID started. So how dare you judge my sage like wisdom and insight. But my point is, whitewash floaters are kind of harder the older you get and the heavier you are, and especially if you're an older surfer, or, you know, or if you started surfing new when you're older, when you're already a full-size adult, not as small and thin and lithe as you were when you were a teenager or preteen. Here's the secret to whitewash floaters. Not the secret, but like a helpful hint. You need speed. So when you're going in line, do your whitewash floater as soon as if a wave closes out, or you hit a wave and it closes out. Use the speed off of coming off your last turn or the last closeout to gently bottom turn, not too deep. Don't burn off your speed doing like a Barry Kanayapuni, you know, two hands in the water, squat all the way down, bottom turn. But use your speed in your last turn to bottom turn, and then bottom turn and set your angle back up at the whitewash instead of going straight for like 3 seconds and then going, oh, and trying to turn to the whitewash and lose your speed, okay? The other thing is, and that's the one thing, use your speed, do it sooner than later. You know, do it as soon as after you come off a turn. Don't wait down the line, pump 3 times, and then try and do when you're not going to be able to do when you're too old and fat and heavy. I'm sorry, we're all there. Second thing is bottom turn. This is the thing that bugs me, is like in surfing and surf videos and surf trick tips and just everyone talks about, like, well, people are like, oh, the bottom turn is the most important maneuver in surfing. You know, the perfect bottom turn can let you do anything you want in the wave. But then they never discuss what the perfect bottom turn is. They're always like, well, get low and do this. There's an aspect of the bottom turn, front side and backside, that no one fucking talks about, and they should. When you're bottom turning, it's not like you just get low and set your rail and then you just come up and bottom turn up with the wave. I see this all the time from myself and from others and everywhere I surf. People think that you just set your bottom turn and you just bottom turn and that's it, and then you go up the lip and hit it. That's not, there's a step between the bottom turn and hitting the lip or doing the maneuver that most people miss. I miss it. I do it all the time and I get so mad at myself. When you're bottom turning, you want to set your bottom turn and turn off the bottom and then get coming up the wave, either the face, you know, to the lip or the area just the side of the lip or the shoulder to do a cutback. But between the bottom turn and your maneuver, like the pivot where you're hitting it, you need to like release your board and lift it up. What I mean is, when you're bottom turning up to hit the lip and you start going up the face, you can't just bottom turn up the face all the way, because then you're just going to dig into the face, burn all your speed. Then when you go to pivot, when you go to transition to your outside rail, you know, your inside rail to turn back down the face, you're just going to bog and fall. What you need to do is, when you're bottom turning front side or backside, when you get past like, you know, 90 degrees of the, or, you know, parallel with the wave and coming up the wave face, at that point, you need to pivot and lift your tail up just a little bit and lift your board up the face so that like if you're coming into the lip, that the lip, you're lifting it above the lip to push it onto the lip to meet it. Kind of like when you're walking out with your surfboard. You ever done this? Longboard is harder, but shortboard. And you're like walking out like waist deep water, you're jumping over white water and a whitewash comes and you go up with your hands and like fake hand surf it, where you do put your hand, your back hand on your tail pad, and your front hand where your front foot goes, and you push your board and you push up and pop your board in a wheelie and then make it go up the whitewash and you kind of hit the lip on the whitewash. that's how you do a whitewash floater. You can't just bottom turn into it and then release and hope that you're just going to float over it. Bottom turn up the whitewash. When you get to the whitewash, push in your tail and bend your legs and pull your board up and pivot your board. Make that fulcrum there where you're sucking your board up. So it's meeting that, you know, that thing you push against when you're pushing over the whitewash and you're jumping over it. You want to meet that push and meet that pivot and lift your board up and like you're pushing it up something, like you're lifting a board up a curb and then pushing it up a curb. Same idea. Like, so like if you do that and then bend your legs and then once you get up on that, float off of it and then let yourself glide back down. But that step, and it's the same thing. And I'll talk about, we're going to do talk about off the lips next week as well, because mine are terrible and yours are bad, and we both need to work on them so much. But that is the key component that no one ever talks about in surf tips, is that, yeah, you need to set your rail and bottom turn, but at a certain point between you hitting the lip, you know, bottom turn and hitting the lip, there needs to be a middle point, a connector movement where you need to like release your bottom turn and actually guide your board up the face to meet the lip or the power of the lip, and then hit the lip and then redirect and then come back down. And that's why a lot of my whitewash floaters, you'll see like guys bottom turn and just knife into the whitewash and stop, or purl or lose their speed, because you got to knife into the whitewater right when you get the whitewater, push on your tail, front side or backside, lift up your tail to meet, so the bottom flat part of your board is meeting that push, and then you can either hit it like, you know, go at an angle or vertically if you're insane, if you're a really good surfer. You once you meet that energy, either float it, go up a little bit vertical, and then meet it and come back down, bend your legs and absorb it. But so many of us are doing whitewash floaters wrong and are bogging and think it sucks, or our board's not thick enough. And your board probably isn't thick enough. You're probably riding too thin of a board. That's always the case, myself included. But yeah, you're bottom turn into it, but there's a second stage of the bottom turn that no one ever does. And it's the works of hitting the lip, especially when hitting the lip late. You can hit the lip a lot later and a lot more critically and a lot closer to the pocket than you're hitting it. And it's because you think you can, because you're bottom turning wrong. Unless you're really good, which why would you listen to this podcast? Because I'm an idiot. So that's it. That's the episode for today. Because my wife just texted me, it's time for me to go home. I'm 30 minutes late. But yeah, like I said, we covered surfing eyeglasses, ear things, 3D printing, UV flashlight. Oh man, I have like four other things I wrote down for next episode that were left over. So next episode is going to be great. This has been Dan Bolick for the Surfing Podcast. Thanks for listening. Please, if you get a chance and you haven't already, go on iTunes, leave us a positive review. It's a nice thing to do, and it drowns out the idiots that don't like me because I make fun of, you know, stupid people. And they're like, I'm stupid. How dare you? I'm kidding. I as well am stupid. We should all be friends. But, yeah, that's it. Get some waves. Be nice to each other. Be nice to the people. Stay home, wear a mask. We're almost through this goddamn thing. And by almost, I mean probably only 7 more months. Who knows? Or more or less, hopefully. But yeah, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I will talk to you next episode. Bye-bye.